out of that song, that's praise going out. And I'm telling you, praise will cause them to come in the mighty name of Jesus. As we sing this song again, there's got to be probably someone or more than one. I said the names of some that when we were singing that part, come home. You know, if we love people, we want them to come home. And you know what? The thing that's going to stop the enemy is praise. The music was developed for God's people to praise. Other people got a hold of it and turned it in the wrong way. But I'm telling you, people, it's time to not be ashamed of the gospel, to praise Him no matter where we are, and thank Him for what He's done, and thank Him for what He's going to do. He said that this was going to be a special Christmas. And what would be more precious than the name that we say to decide to come home? And you know what? I believe it is. I believe it's happening. But the main thing is, don't be ashamed. This thing of being a secret Christian is over. We're not ashamed of our God. He's worthy, worthy to be praised. Worthy to be praised. And we'll stop the enemy.
Come home.
Sweet Spirit in this place.
Yes.
Lord, we just look to You. We receive You in every way. We make a way for You.
Yes.
We create an environment for You to move and do what You would like to do, and for all of us to be saved, healed, blessed, made whole in every area of life.
Yes.
Lord God, we receive all the promises You have for us. And Your Word says that all the promises are yes,
yes
and amen,
and amen
to the believer.
To me.
So
yes.
Lord God, we say yes and amen. And we thank You for blessing us. Thank You for each one that's in this room today, and those that are not here for various reasons. Lord God, we ask that You bless them as they travel or whatever they're doing. Thank You, Lord, for the blood in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till He appeared and our soul felt its worth. Divine, all night, when His peace. All chains shall He break. Everyone is our brother. And in His name, all oppression shall cease.
Night is, I guess, my favorite, but it changed everything, y'all. Everything changed when Jesus was born, and we need to be very thankful for it. God is good. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Today is special offering. Did I say that?
I think it is.
It is.
All right. Now we're on. I don't want to place a blanket over the anointing that's in this place, but what the Lord dealt with me about this week was Jesus passing by your tent. The Word says in Deuteronomy 1:27 that when He passed by their tent, He heard them murmuring and complaining. And I want to ask y'all this morning, and He will pass by your tent. When He passes by your tent, what is He hearing you say? Because whatsoever things you say, you'll eat the fruit of it. I know this is not a Christmas message, but this is what God gave me. So I just want you to be mindful. He's going to pass by your tent. So be careful what you say. Are you saying, I'm going to be a blessing? Or are you saying, if I give this and I give that, I ain't going to have no money left to buy no Christmas? Well, no. Wrong answer. You got to say, I'm going to give and it's going to be blessed back to me. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together and running over. He'll cause man to give unto your bosom. I mean, y'all can't go under for going over. Y'all are the head and not the tail. Y'all are above and not beneath. You're blessed in the city and you're blessed in the country. You're just totally blessed. Amen? Amen. So, Lord God, we just come to you this morning and we just want to say thank you. And, Lord, when you pass by my tent, cause, Lord, hear some good things coming out of my heart and my mouth. Create in us pure hearts and renew right spirits within us. And, Lord, I just thank you, Father God, that you're giving us given hearts, Lord God. That, Lord God, in your promise is, it's coming back. We are blessed, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. I thank you, Lord, that the blessing is on this congregation. We are blessed beyond measure. Lord, I thank you. We are highly favored. We're extremely blessed. Wealth and riches are in our house. There's increase on us, the more and the more, us and our children. The blessing of the Lord, it makes us rich in every area of our lives. Nothing missing and nothing broken. We are blessed. We're covered. There's a heavenly, there's a covering over us that causes us to be blessed. And we choose and we say, and when he passes by our tent, we are saying we are blessed and we will give and we will be a blessing. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you the anointing is upon this offering and on this tithe this morning that it brings increase. Every need met, nothing missing and nothing broken. And we praise you and thank you for it in advance. In Jesus' name. Come and give in faith.
Amen. Let it be Christmas everywhere, in the hearts of all people, both near and afar. Christmas everywhere. Feel the love of the season wherever you are, on the small country roads lined with green mistletoe, big city streets where a thousand lights glow. Let it be Christmas everywhere. Let heavenly music fill the air. Let every heart sing. Let every bell ring the story of hope and joy and peace. And let it be Christmas everywhere. Let heavenly music fill the air. Let anger and fear and hate disappear. Let there be love that lasts through the year. And let it be Christmas, Christmas everywhere. Let it be Christmas everywhere. With the gold and the silver, the green and the red, Christmas everywhere. In the smiles of all children asleep in their beds, in the eyes of young babies, their firstborn snow, elderly's memories that never grow old. Let it be Christmas everywhere. Let heavenly music fill the air. Let every heart sing, let every bell ring, the story of hope and joy and peace. And let it be Christmas everywhere. Let heavenly music fill the air. Let anger and fear and hate disappear. Let there be love that lasts through the year. And let it be Christmas, Christmas everywhere.
I got a praise report to give. It was about storms yesterday. One particular storm went through Main Street, Hendersonville, Tennessee, and tore up quite a bit. My two daughters and two of my grandkids was in a restaurant up there. They got to eat and come out of the restaurant and seen the tornado coming. So they went back inside, everybody in the restaurant was going in the kitchen. They got to the kitchen door and thought about all the knives, gas stoves. You know, Twister kind of went through their mind, you know. So they went to the bathrooms. Well, it blowed by. They was fine. Amanda's and Jeff's shop is probably about 100 yards off of Main Street. Nothing happened to it. Amanda and Jeff probably live maybe at the most a quarter mile off of Main Street. And the only damage they had was insulation falling in the yard from the other buildings. Jeff had one employee that lives on Main Street. He was outside filming it, which he shouldn't have been. And he had his niece with him. Well, it got close enough, he decided he was going inside. He couldn't get the door open. The wind was blowing so hard. Well, before the tornado got to him, God let him open the door. He went inside. His phone was actually still recording. It didn't blow the building away, but it tore it up pretty bad. Most of the stuff that he had inside was still there. And, you know, just thank God for watching out for him. And, you know, say a prayer for the ones that wasn't so fortunate because they need it, you know. If you don't know them, you still pray for them, you know. So thank y'all.
Just pray for everyone right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for those people who lost loved ones yesterday in Tennessee and, Lord, wherever else that I don't know about. Lord God, we thank you for sparing us. We thank you for taking care of us, Lord God, when we can't seem to take care of ourselves. This is something, Lord, that's in us. But your spirit is within us, Lord God. And, Lord, we have the right to pray in the authority of the believer. Lord God, we thank you for your blood in the name of Jesus that has spared us so many times. And, Lord, we just say thank you. In Jesus' name, bless all the families, Lord, that lost whatever, and we give you praise for it. And we all said, amen. Amen? Okay. Well, God's good, isn't he? Hallelujah. Y'all ready to hear my Christmas song? No, we're not. I'm not ready for it yet. Jimmy, come here, Jim. We do have one particular testimony we're going to be doing here in just a moment. But some things that Barry and then Jimmy shared something with me this morning that, look, y'all, testimony is powerful. And I want to tell you guys, y'all are doing a tremendous work in this world, at your workplace and what all is going on, being a testimony for people to see in your faith and your power that in the name of Jesus you have. But Jimmy has a praise report that happened at his workplace at Ashley, so we want to. But first of all, I need you right here.
Now, I know about Elizabeth, but the Lord told me to do this, okay? We prayed this morning for her, and she's fine, but the Lord said to need your hand right on her tummy. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you settle the situations in Elizabeth's body. Cause her digestive system, Lord God, to be absolutely healed and whole and well. We thank you, Lord, you're already on the scene. We thank you, Lord God, that they've prayed and they believe that, Lord God, by your stripes we were healed. And Jesus, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord God, we ask and thank you, Lord, and we believe that what you show us by the Spirit, Lord God, you will take care of it and heal it. So, Lord God, we ask that you just clean all this up, cause it to be whole and well in Jesus' mighty name. Lord God, we've done everything we know to do, and we thank you for the anointing of the Spirit of God, which makes all the difference in the world. The anointing works miracles, the anointing of God, and we give you praise for this, Lord. The Word says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So we stand on that, and we thank you for it all. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. That was their granddaughter. We're praying for it. Okay, Jim, microphone. Go ahead, Jimmy.
You know, you never know when God's going to use you in a certain way. And I've failed so many times when he would tell me to do something. He's still working on me. A lot of people jump and do it. Well, Wednesday night, I've got a guy that worked for me, the float. He worked with me at United. And he come to Ashley over there with me when they shut down. I finally made him a float, real good guy. He's engaged to a lady named Brianna, and they're expecting a child. She's lost, I think, two or three child. I didn't know the woman that well. They've been over to her house, and they have became real good friends. Well, I called last night. I mean, Wednesday night, we have to call for our wood. And she's the one that delivers our wood to her. Well, she don't deliver it, but she has it delivered to where everything will go a lot smoother. And she answered the phone, and she said she was crying. I said, she called me Papa. And she says, Papa, I'm not doing good. I said, what's going on, sweetie? She said, I'm having the same symptoms that I had on the other child. And this is the longest she's ever carried one. It's 3.5 months now. But God quickened me and told me to pray for her. I said, sweetie, where are you at? And she told me, and I said, meet me at the belt right there at my boss's office. I get over there, and first thing I tell her, I said, number one, I'm not a preacher. Number two, I fail every day. But God has told me to pray for you. And if you will receive it, you'll get your miracle. And the first thing she told me, I will receive it. We prayed, we prayed abundant life to bring life into this child. And it will live a long and healthy life. And all the symptoms will be gone. As soon as we got through praying, she looked at me with tears in her eyes, and she said, the pain has stopped. I said, sweetie, you still need to go to the doctor. I said, you need to go. She said, well, my fiance, he worked for me. He said, well, he might get in trouble. I said, he answers to me, and I give him permission to leave. And I said, I answer to my boss. My boss is a family man, and he will agree. Well, I said, and she come up there to get him, and I said, here, take my truck. He said, yeah, I really need to work. I said, no, you need to go with her. I said, but if you want to come back to work, you take my truck, and I'll get my other float to drop me off at your house when we get off in the morning. Well, he called me at 3 o'clock, 3:30, and he says, everything's fine. They can't find nothing. She has even quit bleeding and all. That's the kind of God we serve.
Thank you, Jimmy. Well, that's what Faith Outreach is all about. That's what Jesus is all about. And I think y'all are all about Jesus, too. So, praise God. That's what makes everything work, is the love of God. I wanted to reach out to that girl. And you know the devil was playing with her. Man, she already lost two or three. Well, same old, here we go. But God. Amen. What a testimony. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we have another testimony on the schedule today. And this is quite a miracle. And he shouldn't be here today probably, but he is. And we're glad to have Miss Joy back all the way from San Antonio, Texas. She's been gone 3 months, it seems like. She's home, had a good time. Amen. We're glad she's back. So, Matt Morgan, let's give him a hand clap. And Jennifer's beautiful wife, what a blessing they are. And, boy, that was some news when we heard about it. But God.
Amen. Morning, y'all. Y'all wasn't expecting this, was you? I wasn't either. Brother Jimmy asked me to do this, and I'll be honest, I didn't want to. This might be the first time I've ever spoken with a microphone. I'm not used to this. I am not no public speaker. I'm not a preacher. I know y'all are used to hearing my daddy share and my mama share, and y'all have heard Andrew. He's outstanding in my book. But God has been good to me, and I'm not afraid to say that He has. And so I'm just going to give my personal testimony, starting back with when I started my walk with the Lord. And then I'm going to give Him some good praise at the end. I was a pretty good kid growing up when I was little, I thought. I tried to avoid getting in trouble and whatnot. That was almost impossible being one of four boys. It was mostly Daniel's fault back here in the back. He'll probably say otherwise. But anyways, I grew up. Mom and Daddy took us to church. I'm not going to say we went every Sunday, but we did go to church. And from a young age, they taught us about the Lord. And I'm forever thankful for it. They taught us to pray. They exposed me and my brothers, all four of us, to the things of God. We enjoyed going to VBS. We enjoyed going to the little Methodist church across from our house on Wednesday nights. They called it the Adventure Club. And we always had a large time out there. But anyways, I'm thankful for all that exposure that I was given. I'm thankful for godly parents, a godly mama, and godly daddy. So thank y'all, Mom and Daddy. I appreciate it. But anyways, because of that exposure, I started feeling the Holy Spirit tugging at my heart when I was young. I was about 8 years old, and I didn't know everything. I wasn't no Bible scholar, still am not. You know, I hadn't read through the Bible many times. I still hadn't read through it many times. But I did know at that young age of 8 years old that I needed a Savior. I knew that Jesus wanted to save me. And I was sure that Jesus had came to this earth as a baby, and He had lived a perfect and sinless life, died on the cross for my sins, and 3 days later He rose again. I think about Jesus asking His disciples, "Who do you say I am?" You know, and Simon Bar-Jonah said, "You art the Christ," and he said, "Blessed art thou," you know, because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. And it's the same situation, you know. Didn't nobody reveal that to me? Jesus come down in here and revealed that to me. He told me who He was. And there ain't nobody in this world can beat that out of me. I talked to Daddy about it. I talked to Mama about it, I remember. And anyways, out under Mom and Daddy, it's closed in now. They used to have a little one-pull-in carport. First time I ever remember asking Jesus, forgive me my sins, come into my heart and save me. And at the age of 8 years old. I've grew up here, and and I've seen people say, "Well, they're too young to realize stuff like that." Well, that the word says different. It says, "Forbid not the children to come unto me," and so the devil will mess with your mind and try to make you question things that you've done or experiences that you've had, Like I said, you can't beat it out of me. I've known it since I was at a young age, and there ain't no taking it from me. So anyways, I got saved at that young age. I walked with the Lord for years. I felt like, best of my knowledge, I did. And I was sensitive to the things of God for several years. I strived to please Him in everything I did. And then I rolled around to around middle school years. Still going to church, still trying to live my life for God. But I started getting exposed to the things of the world around middle school age. I had friends that I'd been friends with since I was kids. You know, peer pressure started coming in. Things started happening. And I started seeing my friends do things that I knew wasn't right. And I fought it off for a while. You know, I can't do that. I can't do those things. But, you know, you hang around in the wrong group long enough, more than likely you're probably going to fall right in there with them, unfortunately. So anyways, I caved to peer pressure. My relationship with the Lord started to fade. I went through my high school and my short college years doing things that I knew weren't pleasing unto God. And I knew the whole time they weren't pleasing unto God. I developed a drinking habit. I'm not proud of it, but I was a partier. Be honest with you, me and Jennifer, when we first started dating, hanging out, we were partying a whole lot of the time. I'm not proud of it, but it is what it is. I went through my short college years doing the same old thing, and I remember being at a party one night with Jennifer and with a bunch of my friends, and I remember Jennifer, who is now my wife. We were just boyfriend and girlfriend there. I remember her asking me, "You want to go to church tomorrow?" And it hit me like a ton of bricks because, you know, I knew where I needed to be. I knew what I needed to be doing, but I was living for Matt. I want to have a good time. And anyways, I said, yeah, because I knew that's where I needed to be. So we went to church, to a little Baptist church right down the road. That's where Jennifer and her mother went when she was younger. My mom-in-law, she's in heaven now, but she played piano down there. And we started going to church. I'm not saying that everything changed all at once, because it didn't. But we started going to church on Sunday mornings. It got a little bit easier, a little bit better. I'll be honest with you, there was a lot of Sundays I didn't want to go. I had other things on my mind, other places I wanted to be, events that my friends had planned out that I really wanted to go to. But I knew I didn't need to be there. I knew I needed to be at church. So the more I started going back to church, started exposing myself to God, being where I knew I needed to be, the easier them old bad habits started dropping off of me. And I ended up, during that time, I believe it was, I ended up proposing to Jennifer and asked her to be my wife. I want to tell y'all right now, that woman right there, even when I wasn't living right, God saw the big picture, and he had her ask me to go to church. And I'm forever thankful for that night. Because he used her, and you ain't never going to get me to believe otherwise, to come back on the right path. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs, he that finds a wife finds a good thing. And, I listen to guys at work all the time. Trash her wife, trash her spouse, her girlfriend, whatever. You ain't going to catch me doing that. Does she aggravate me sometimes? Yes, sir. And does she want to choke me a lot of time? Absolutely. I guarantee you. But I love that woman right there. And God gave her to me. And I'm forever thankful for her. I wouldn't be the man I am today without her in my life. Anyways, we were going to that little Baptist church just half a mile down the road from our house. We were trying to live for the Lord. We didn't have any kids yet. But we knew we wanted to start a family, build a family. And we knew that we wanted to expose our kids to the things of God. So we went there for several years, even when Braden was a small child. But we got to getting exposed a little more in the Word. Andrew went to Rhema. Of course, that helped with that a whole lot. And we got to a place to where we were wanting more. And it would have been, I guess, around the time that they were having the tent revivals out there. And we started going to it. We were learning more, being exposed to more. And just really weren't quite satisfied with where we were going to church every Sunday, if I'm being honest. Outstanding people down there. I love them to death. We're still friends with all of them. But, you know, down in our spirit, we just knew there was more. Andrew actually did preach down there at that church one night, and that's when I received baptism of the Holy Spirit in that Baptist church, and that ruffled some feathers. But anyways, there was a little bit of, there was people kind of didn't agree with everything that was going on. But anyways, along that time, we was going to tent revival, we realized, you know, there's more for us. We got to do something different, and which eventually through the tent revival and whatnot led us down here. And man, the first time I walked in this place right here, I've told Daddy this before. I know, and I think I have Jennifer, but I can remember one of the first services we was here. It would have run most people off. It was wild. I'll never forget it. Of course, you know, it didn't run me off. I was not taken back by it. I'd kind of been around some services like that before as a child growing up and whatnot. But I'm pretty sure Jeff Smith ran that day. But anyways, but it was one of them services where, you know, everything was just right. And, you know, people were going over to people and sharing with people what God laid on their heart. And I've told Daddy, like I said, I've told Daddy this before and told Jennifer too, I believe. But when I walk in this place and we get to worship, and it just feels like God's hugging me. And, you know, people sit behind me probably think I'm a crybaby because I'll get wrapped up in worship sometimes, and I'll be over squalling just like a little baby. And I can't help it, but it's just like I'm overwhelmed with the goodness of God in my life. And it just comes out. And for me, even though I'm a man, it comes out in tears a lot of the time. But this place right here has built me up from the first time I walked in here. It's built my family up. It's built our faith. And I just want to say thank y'all for all that y'all do, each and every one of you. Y'all are heroes in my book. But I don't think I could have endured the things I've endured in life without being built up and without y'all teaching me and loving me and praying for me. I've never been around a group of people where, you know, if something comes up, you know people are praying for you. And not only that, you know, not to say anything bad about anybody, but other denominations, I honestly think that their prayers are almost like wishing. We're wishing this works out. I believe y'all believe it's going to work out. And, you know, I can remember not long after coming down here, Braden broke his leg. And we were tore up about it. He wasn't but 3 years old. He broke his femur, the largest bone in his body. And it was a freak accident. And I can remember y'all praying for him and us having perfect peace about it. And he had a broken femur, and we went to the doctor the very next week, and they couldn't see the crack in the bone no more. That don't happen without God. And, you know, I can remember being concerned, well, is he going to be able to run still? That boy's the fastest white boy on his football team. And in a lot of cases, he's the fastest kid on his teams. But anyways, this place right here has built me up, and it's made me who I am. And who I'm continuing to grow to be, and I'm forever thankful for it. But I say all that to say this, and you know, I'm not going to be a lot longer, but God's been good to me. He's been with me since I was a young man, and even when I left him, he never left me. And he's used people, and maybe not the best of situations to bring me right back to it. And he's led us here. I'm forever thankful for it. But a lot of y'all don't know this, but I'm gonna testify as good. A lot of you do know it, excuse me, but a lot of you don't know it to its entirety. But this time last year, I was in a neck brace. On November the 11th of last year, I had a freak accident fall at work. Won't ever happen again, more than likely, to anybody, and I pray to God it don't. But I broke my neck. I was about 15 minutes away from leaving on a Friday evening, going and getting a haircut and going home for the weekend. And, you know, not how I seen my Friday ending. But I broke my neck. I knew something wasn't right. Ended up getting carried to the hospital in Pontotoc. Got sick as a dog while I was laying in there. Wasn't feeling good at all. And got sick everywhere. Didn't know what was wrong with me yet. Just knew something wasn't right. Actually thought it was my back at the time. But I can remember getting sick. They'd already done x-rays and scans on me. And then after getting sick and throwing up everything I had in me, and then some, it felt like, I can remember the doctor coming in there and telling me, don't move. You cannot move. Whatever you do, don't move. Well, immediately the devil came at me because I just throwed up everywhere, and I know I was moving. There wasn't no way around it. Mom and them were trying to brace me best they could. But anyways, they got me back in a C-collar, got me fixed up, and they said, you got a broke neck. And, of course, fear tries to come in. And I can remember laying there crying, thinking, you know, I'm a young man. How's it, you know, why is this happening to me? I got two healthy boys that need me to help them play ball. You know, help me. I need to practice in the yard with them. I got a family that I got to work for. You know, there's things to do around the house. I got cows to feed. I mean, everything started running through my mind. Am I going to be able to walk again? You know, because I hadn't walked since the fall. I've just been laying there. I didn't let that last too long before I started talking to the devil. They prayed for me. They ended up telling me that I was going to get airlifted to Memphis. Had a broke neck. And that was all I knew, really. But I could remember starting to talk to myself as I was loading up the helicopter. They said a prayer for me. Of course, I'm sure there was text messages and prayer chains sent out to all of y'all at the time, too. But it was like before I even got put in that helicopter, it was like a peace come over my life. And I can't describe it. Because when everything was going wrong, I was all right. Now, that's my first time ever riding a helicopter, and I do hope it is my last. Because, not that I'm scared of heights or anything, but I get that whole sickness that I endured at the hospital happened again as we was landing that thing in Memphis. But anyways, we were going down, get out on the ground. I was feeling sick. They end up getting close enough to the ground, they opened that door on me, and that cold air blowed in on me. It helped a whole lot. But anyways, I was still at peace. I knew everything was going to be okay. We got on the ground, and they wheeled me back. And I've never been in the med ER, but it is crazy. I stayed out in a hall for, I can't tell you how long, just waiting on a room to go into. But after they landed the helicopter broke down. One of the pilots stayed right there with me and saw after me until somebody come and got him. They had to drive up there and get him. So you can't tell me that ain't God taking care of me all the way up there, letting me land, get on the ground safe. So anyways, I end up having two neck surgeries while I'm in the hospital in the med. They started telling me to push on my feet. They started asking me to move a little bit once they had me stabilized and whatnot. Started asking me to use my feet, push against their hands, whatnot. And I started feeling a lot better after that, too, because I was like, well, I can feel I can move everything. I'm not paralyzed. Thank you, Lord, you know. And So had two surgeries. I had the most precious nurse in the world while I was up there. Her name was Miss Carol Bean, wasn't it? It was Miss Carol. I can't remember her last name. But you can't tell me. I mean, you know, just over and over again, you could see how God lined things up for me throughout this tragic situation. She took care of me. I mean, she was an angel. Couldn't ask for any better. But as I was there for a week, you might as well say, 6 or 7 days, able to come home. I had surgery on to remove the broken bone in my neck. I had a second surgery to fix what was broke. So now I'm fused. I broke my C5. I'm fused from my 4 to my 6. This whole time I'm laying in this hospital bed, I was hurting, I'm not going to lie. But I knew I was going to get through it. Just something in me, you know, and then the doctors got to coming in there, and I can remember doctors telling me, you're going to be in this neck brace for up to six months. And, you know, I was just, okay, well, we're going to work through it. I'm going to come out the other side of this. Yeah, though I walked through the valley of the shadow of death, I was going to come through it. I had it down in me, and that's all due to what I've been exposed to and what I've been taught here. You know, nothing but faith was rising up in me. And so anyways, I come home, and I had a rough couple of weeks, but I was getting a little better every day. And I'm not going to say that I didn't have days like, well, am I ever going to get better? It sure seems like it's hurting a lot. I'm ready for it to get better. But I wouldn't let anything negative come out of my mouth. I want to speak good things. You know, I can remember, like I said, the doctors telling me I was going to be in this neck brace up six months. Of course, y'all know I'm a big deer hunter. I missed all of deer season last year. I hated that. I hated not getting it, to care my boys hunting. But I want to do everything the doctors are telling me to do because I want to come out to the other side of this too. So we had a follow-up visit, 2 weeks after I come home from the hospital. This whole time, I will say, I couldn't help but wonder, you know, what's the outcome of a C5 neck fracture? But I never would let myself look it up. I didn't want to. You can Google anything on the internet and look for a review. You can look for a review on that Bible right there, and there's going to be bad reviews of it on the internet, unfortunately. So I wouldn't let myself do it. But anyways, I went back to the doctor 2 weeks later, something like that. I'm expecting 6 months in a neck brace. I get back up there. I've been showering with a neck brace on. They were having to change my bandages. I had bandages front and back, had staples in me, stitches in me, all that stuff glued together. I would have to take a shower. Jennifer was literally having to bathe me for a couple weeks there, bless her heart. But and then I would lay on the bed. Mama would come over before she went to work. They would have to keep me stable on the bed, change out my dressings. I couldn't move. And they would get the neck brace back on me, change the pads out. It was a whole process. This whole time, I'm not knowing what kind of movement I'm going to have, but I'm believing for the best. So I go back 2 weeks later, and I get back out of that doctor. He looks at my x-rays that they took. He comes in there, and I'm sitting in a chair. And I've been scared to move my neck this whole time, and I've been in a neck brace for 2 weeks. He comes in there and takes the neck brace off of me and walks out of the room. So I'm standing there trying to hold my neck, thinking, is my head going to fall off, you know? Because, you know, of how they had told me in the hospital to take care of myself. And he said, what are you doing? And I was like, am I supposed to be out of that? And he said, I put good stuff in you, you're going to be fine. And so he looks at my scans, and he said, everything was like it's healing up good. And he puts the neck brace back on me, and he says, wear that brace one more month, and you're done with it. I was supposed to wear it for 6 months. So that tickled me a whole bunch. Of course, he had told me I couldn't shoot still, so I still didn't get to do no deer hunting. But, you know, at this point, I'm just praising God. Thank you, Lord, for how far you've brought me in such a short amount of time. This could be a lot different. I could not be walking. I walked in this place. Thank you, Lord. But anyways, so long story short, I'm off work this whole time. And I can't stand being cooped up in the house. Anybody that knows me knows that. I like being outside and I like doing stuff. I don't like laying up. And I was at home for 8 weeks. That was the longest 8 weeks of my life. But I tried to make the most of it. I will say this. I was so overwhelmed. I can remember laying in the hospital bed. Braden, I kind of got ahead of myself here, but I'm going to go back and tell it. Braden was playing in the Super Bowl while I was in the hospital laid up. And y'all know I love sports. Anybody that knows me knows that. But I love more than I ever loved playing sports. I love watching them two boys right there play sports. And he played in the Super Bowl for his Pee Wee Football League last year. And I was laid up in the med in Memphis. And, man, it tore me up. They FaceTimed me, and I tried to get some got to see some of it. They ended up winning it. Braden got a fumble recovery and had several tackles in it. But I can remember, just hating what I missed out on, but then at the same time just saying, because they had already given me a report. If you'll just do what we're supposed to tell you to do, you're going to come back out of this. And anyways, but I can remember, I'd never been away from them boys more than a day or two at a time. And I didn't get to see them for a week. I laid up in the bed, got to talk to them a little bit. But I can remember when I did get home, I squalled like a baby when I walked in that house and seen them two youngins. And again, it was just like when I walk in here, it was like God was hugging me, saying, "Hey, this is going to be okay, Matt. We're going to bring you through this. And I've already made a way for you." But anyway, I was off for 8 weeks. They told me I couldn't pick anything up, but I could walk. So I walked up and down the driveway until I probably wore two pairs of shoes out because I didn't want to be in that house. But I did come back to work in 8 weeks. So I broke my neck, got airlifted to Memphis, and I was back at work in 8 weeks. Ain't nobody but God can do it right there. He's been good to me. And anyways, you hear people all the time, and they just say it out of ignorance, but they'll say, "Well, that's going to bother you when you get older. You may not be able to move like you once could." But, there's people in here that spoke to me. I didn't come to church while I had that neck brace on, to be honest with y'all. I was self-conscious about it. I didn't want no more attention drawn to me than I already had. So I waited that month and a half till I got that neck brace off, but I couldn't wait to get back down here. And I can remember one of them first days that I did come back, I can remember David Herbert coming over and talking to me and telling me, "Matt," and he may not even remember, "You coming all the way back, you ain't going to have no symptoms. You ain't going to have nothing bother you. You're going to be better than before." We hear it all the time down here. He can restore us. And that's exactly what he's done to me. I can stand right here with all confidence and tell y'all I'm just as strong as I was before. I'm just as healthy as I was before. I can move my neck in any direction just like I could before. I don't wake up sore. I don't wake up hurting. I'm not going to have arthritis. I'm not going to have any trouble from this. And you're not going to catch those words coming out of my mouth. I can throw that football. Probably about as far as anybody in here, if I'm being honest. yes, ma'am, I got a lot to be thankful for. I can get out there and do whatever I want to with my boys. The doctor told me I can run, jump, swing, bat, throw a ball, do whatever I need to do. And I will say, I'm deer hunt. If a boys will let me shoot, they ain't been letting me shoot no more now. But that's okay too. But God's been good to me, and I ain't afraid to say it. And I didn't want to get up here. Brother Jimmy asked me to. This is a very uncomfortable situation for me. I'm no public speaker, but I am not scared to tell anybody how good God's been to me. He's brought me through so much, and you know what? If something happens to me today, He's going to bring me through that too. I believe that with everything in me. So y'all just don't be afraid to give him praise for anything good he's done in your life. And that's all I got.
Praise God, buddy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo! Well, I think you might want to get used to speaking publicly. You may be seated for just a second. Thank you, Matt. Wow. You know, the journey that we all walk is not always pleasant. But God is always walking with us. Don't lose sight of that. I was thinking about Mary and Joseph. They were going from Nazareth to Bethlehem to pay their taxes. Even on a good day, that's not a good thing to do. So they're going, and she's riding on a donkey. It's about 70 miles. That's about from here to Corinth on a donkey. It's not four lane either. It's rough. And it's hot over there. Or cold. It's like Texas. It's either cold or hot. There's no in between. So anyway, it would take a normal person, an adult, probably 3-4 days to do that. I guarantee it took them at least 6 or 8 days to do it, twice as long. Because, okay, men, it's your time to say amen. Women, especially when they're pregnant in the ninth month, they have to stop pretty often. And you know, can you imagine? I don't want to ride on a donkey. And I'm pretty healthy, I think. My goodness, being pregnant riding on a donkey and going that far. And when you get there, you got to pay taxes. I mean, good grief. And you know, they were human beings. They had thoughts, you know. I'm sure she said, "Hey, Joe, I got to stop." He said, "Oh, no, not again. Don't let me down, folks." Somebody say amen, because I know that's what we do. But anyway, they made it. And when they got there, there was no place to stay. What a journey she took. What a chance she took. But they did it in faith, knowing what was going on in here, knowing this is God's plan. And they got there, and there's no room. Just more frustration. But if you study that all out, it was not unusual for this kind of thing to happen. And most of the time, there were no Holiday Inns there. You know, most of the time it was a big house, was up a story upstairs. That's where lots of folks would go into that big room and spend the night. Well, I'd rather be by myself in a cave than I had with a bunch of crazy folks up in there, wouldn't you? But anyway, and she's pregnant. So anyway, they have no room there, and they go to the Bible, as we read, a stable. Actually, if you research it out, it was a cave. And if you've ever been over there, and I've been fortunate enough to go, but it's not hardly any trees around there. And when he was a carpenter, that means he was a stonemason. Research it out. So anyway, they get in this cave and they get back there. And how many would rather be in that than you had in a room with about 60 people? Oh, man, yeah. I'd rather be in that cave any day. I'd put me with the cows and the horses or whatever. And so back there in a manger, we think, you know, in our Western civilization, there's a little wooden thing, you know, with some hay in it, but it wasn't wood at all. It was carved out probably out of the wall of that cave. It was a stone little trough thing, and that's where the animals would eat out of. And that's where Jesus was laid. And he was laid in there, and I can't imagine. You know, some people say, well, Mary and Joseph didn't really matter. I beg to differ. I do not think, now this is Jimmy's theology right here, I do not think when we get to heaven that Joseph and Mary are going to be out on the back 40 somewhere. I think they're going to be on Main Street with God. Yeah. Amen? Why not? She was favored when she was on the earth. She's going to be highly favored when she's in heaven. Amen. And so was Joseph. And a lot to learn in there. And I'll add just one little tidbit if you don't know this. But the Bible says he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. And if you don't know what that is, that was little strips of cloth that the shepherds would use when the little lambs were born. And they would sort of keep the legs straight. And that's what Jesus was wrapped in. And he became the Lamb of God. And if you knew something about those shepherds, they weren't just any shepherd. They were the shepherds from the priest, from the royalty. And they were the ones that would bring them to slaughter, to sacrifice. And they would inspect. If they have spot or blemish, you don't slay them. You don't sacrifice them. So, Jesus was without sin. He was without any spot or any blemish on him. Let's just face it, folks. He was God in the flesh, walking on this earth. He wants to be with us. He wanted to come. He gave his life. He taught the people. He demonstrated Satan's defeat. He demonstrated it all. Went to the cross. 3 days later, he came up out of the grave. Don't tell me he don't want to be with us now. Well, you know, that was in the old days. There are no old days with God. He doesn't have a calendar, nor a clock, or a watch. He's God. Amen. So he's here with us today. That's why these miracles are happening, because you folks believe that he is here. And we have his name, we have his blood, we have his word. We stand on the word of God. We speak the word of God. Now, we're not perfect. Amen? Everybody look at me and say, you're not perfect. I'm going to look at all of you and say, you're not perfect either. But we are redeemed. God's not so concerned about your performance. It's important. He's more concerned about your heart. Are you right with him? If you believe in him, you've been born again, you have life everlasting. What miracles we've had today. Loved ones, daughter in Hendersonville, two granddaughters. Don't tell Amanda, but they gay granddaughters. She's just daughter. They're safe. And that girl that Jimmy prayed for. I mean, my goodness. This is Ashley furniture. This is not a 3-job operation in a garage somewhere. But this man has enough obedience in him to say yes to the Lord and go pray and to rip with whatever the world thinks. She was more important than any chair they'd ever get out of that building that day. And look what happened. Not only was she saved, but the baby saved too. Yeah. That curse is broken over her in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Matt, great job, my friend. It was fabulous. So, don't get discouraged on your journey. Mary and Joseph had a pretty rough journey too. I've never had to walk 70 miles or ride on a donkey 70 miles, and I don't want to, do you? So, but they did it for you. They did it for God. Amen. And we're here today, 2,000 years later, talking about it. He's just as real now as he was then. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. What a day. Thank you all for being here. God's presence is strong. God is good. Again, we celebrate the season for the right reason. Amen? And we enjoy the things that God has given us to do. And we have a sleigh. We have Frosty over here. And we have... I've spoken to these nutcrackers 3 or 4 times. They won't talk back to me, though. Well, that may be a good thing. Amen? But anyway, enjoy yourself, your relationship with God. Enjoy the season and the moment. It is the most precious thing. Without it, the others wouldn't come. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you, Lord, for being who you are and you loving us, Lord, in spite of. That's what agape is. And Lord, we love you because you first loved us. And Lord, your word tells us it's not anything, death, not anything can separate us from your love. What a comfort. Jesus, thank you for what you've done for us. We give you praise and honor and glory. And Lord, as we walk our journey, we'll walk it in faith and in love. And Lord God, it will be worth the trip. Heaven will be worth it all. So Lord, dismiss us now in the power of your Spirit, the knowledge of your word, and covered by your blood. Lord God, I pray for travel safeties. I pray, Lord God, this be the most blessed time. And Lord, for those of us that have lost people during the year, whatever, Lord God, and for those that are suffering right now through, it's a difficult time at Christmas sometimes, but Lord God, put within them your story where you raised your own son up so that we could all be raised up. And Father, put the joy of the Lord in our hearts again. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Tell somebody you love them before you go. We'll have prayer at 5 today. We'll have